You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Students, teachers, and school staff across the state are wrapping up their year this week. For today's Teacher Talk, we dive into what it means to say goodbye after sharing 9 months of growth, joy, struggles, and memories in the classroom. Gina Benz is in her 25th year of teaching. She teaches Teacher Pathway and AP English Language at Roosevelt High School in Sioux Falls. She's also on the adjunct faculty at several colleges and universities. Plus, she is a recipient of the prestigious Milken Educator Award. Dr. Jackie Wilbur is a faculty member and director of the Center for Student and Professional Services at the University of South Dakota School of Education. She began her career in public schools in 2007. She has served as a middle school and high school teacher and a public librarian. She's also an experienced registered yoga teacher through Yoga Alliance. Here's our conversation. This is one of the hardest parts of being a teacher. How come?
When people ask me about the hardest parts of being a teacher, it is on my very, very short list. Always having to say goodbye. Always having to say goodbye to people who mean a lot to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You fall in love with these kids again and again, and then they go.
They really matter. They really matter to me.
Yeah. And you spent 9 months?
9 months.
Learning about someone and understanding them, and they know you.
Yeah.
Students have a hard time saying goodbye, too. Not all of them.
Oh,
but
a
many,
lot do.
Many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a teacher can do her best to make it not awkward, because for the students, they're still learning how to navigate life. And
right.
So
right.
Let's model what closure looks like and how we can place value on the 9 months we just had together and say, this was good. It is over, but it was good.
Yeah. Jackie, for little kids, I remember those elementary school years where I almost felt like, you know, it was out of proportion with how much mm-hmm. some of the kids were just despondent about mm-hmm. like leaving their elementary school. But that's part of that's developmentally appropriate.
It is, right. My area is not elementary, so I'm sure there are many folks who have additional information about what the development is. But if you think about just the lifespan of a young person, they haven't gone through that much change yet because yeah. they're not old enough to. Mm-hmm. And so it feels new and fresh and challenging, right? All of the changes that they're happening to them for the first time.
Yeah. How do you set your mindset correctly, Gina, you know, to say, hey, goodbye is an important part of what I'm teaching right now?
I have to first come to terms myself with, you know, it's ended and this was special. And then I, after I've had my own time thinking about it, then I can share whatever I've decided to with my students to create closure. But some students, it's really hard because it's hard to navigate difficult emotions.
Yeah.
And so a lot of students actually will just try to sneak out and just avoid the emotions. And so one reason I like to do the closure is because I don't think we should escape and avoid our emotions. We should recognize what they are and honor them for what they are and what they have to teach us.
Yeah. All right. So moving on is necessary because a new group of students is coming into that classroom.
You know, once upon a time I would say, I will always be your teacher. Nope, that's not true. I will always be your former teacher.
Yeah.
And I can't continue to give you the same energy and time that I gave you this school year mm-hmm. because I have a new bunch of students who need and deserve my energy and time. And so, yes, I have to let go of you. You have to let go of me and move on to the next person who will support you.
All right. So how do we set this up? What are some of the ways to prepare for the end of something?
I can only speak to what I do and what I've seen a few teachers do, but I think the possibilities are endless. I like to take a class picture. And not, you know, the formal class picture, especially that elementary teachers get and students get. But I take a class picture, maybe outside by a tree or something like that. And I also like to give them just my final words. And that's where we explicitly talk about, explicitly, maybe that's not the best word, but
directly
talk about the emotions that go with the end of something. And then I like to leave them with a final word. Of course, I'm an English teacher, so I'm all about poets. And there's a poem I really like, but also even just a favorite line from one of Walt Whitman's poems about how students best honor their teacher when they learn to destroy the teacher, which sounds terrible. And then the kids love that, right? It's so provocative.
Yeah.
But it means that they don't need me anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't need me anymore.
Yeah.
And I like to send them off that way.
Oh, that's nice. Jackie, what would you add to that? Other ways that you think are fun to create rituals of closure or opportunities for processing those emotions?
I think the intentionality behind having some kind of ritual or ceremony or routine that gives the time and space to walk through closure is what's important. What you actually do, I think there are a variety of ways that can happen, but being intentional about it, doing it on purpose, taking time and space for it is really important. I went to an event last night here on campus at USD, and there were a group of students that were at an encouragement dinner, and each student had an opportunity to say something if they wanted to, words of encouragement to their fellow classmates about finishing up the end of the year. They shared memories of the course of the year and their time together. And so I think giving students an opportunity to say what having spent time together in this learning environment has meant to them, watching that ceremony was very, very powerful.
I love that. Giving the students an opportunity to express to each other what it was like to be in this space together. Wait, that's interesting.
Ooh,
yeah.
My rituals may be changing.
There's room to add that. I think that who was the teacher that we talked to who was the who came? Oh, I'm going to forget her name.
Rebecca Peterson.
Oh, yes. And when she, you know, I would listen to their story at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. Now I'm curious to know what she does at the end of the year.
Me too.
I am as well. Yeah. I will say that's one of my final assignments in almost any class I teach at any grade level I will have them write something at the beginning of the semester, kind of what they're anticipating, what they're thinking about the course ahead, and then have them look back on that first essay and then write a reflection and think about all that they've learned and overcome and gone through, because I think it's important that students reflect on their own growth. I know that that's something that I personally struggle with just as an individual, is to give myself credit where credit is due.
Yeah.
And so as part of my closing ritual as an actual assignment, I will have students write a reflection on their own growth over the course of the course.
I got to add that to my ritual. This is so good.
One of the things I did as a parent when it was the senior year of high school, I was like, I cannot have everything be the last.
Yes.
You know, this is your last homecoming. This is your last, you know, orchestra concert.
Yes.
Like, I can't do it. I will cry for 9 months. Mm-hmm. I'm just not emotionally equipped. So we called it a victory lap. So going into senior year, we're like, this whole year is a victory lap.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at everything as that's your victory lap concert. And just that simple reframe was
a way for
me as a parent to sit in the space and say, you know, you got to this final concert and it's as good as it is because of all the other concerts that we, you know, and it was also a way to acknowledge that knowledge and, you know, practice and skill build on each other. Mm-hmm. And like, you know how to do homecoming now, you know how to do the first week of school, you know how to do, you know, this standardized test or whatever. And it was, I was in high school that you'd like, you know, burn your notes or whatever. It'd be like, I'll never have to. And I was, of course, not the kind of student who would ever burn my notes because I wanted to keep them, you know, forever, because I'm just kind of a note saver by nature. And so the victory lap was a good reframe. And I truly enjoyed every day of my daughter's senior year.
Mm. Oh, I love that reframe. And it makes me think about graduation then.
Yeah, right.
Which is ultimate closure.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's designed for.
Yeah. So then should there be graduations for preschool, kindergarten, fifth grade? Like, what are some of the other, because I think sometimes we try to fit, you know, because we don't have a good way to close out something, you know, it's a graduation and let's put little kids in caps and gowns. and that might work for a lot of people and it might be really, really special, but there might be other ways to do that as well.
Yeah, and I think you don't want to make something become cliche, if you will. And so just recognizing that there's a lot of ways to mm-hmm. create closure beyond a graduation ceremony.
Yeah. Are there other things that you mentioned too, Gina, helping them prepare for the next thing? In your case, it might be their senior year because they might be juniors. Mm-hmm. And getting them to think about what kind of senior they want to be.
Yeah, well,
tell me about that.
Yeah, I think it could work for any grade level probably, but especially my juniors as they become seniors. I say, you know, I've been teaching a while and I see seniors come into our school two different ways when they start their senior year. Some walk in looking to be served. They're the upperclassmen. They're the ones with the most experience. Mm. Serve me. And others walk in looking to serve because they want to leave a legacy. And I guess in both cases you leave a legacy, but in the second case they leave a legacy of service, of joy, of commitment, a good legacy.
Yeah. Hmm. Gina, any other gifts? Do you give gifts? Do you accept gifts? What are some of the meaningful ways to close out a year by giving and exchanging something?
You know, I don't give gifts. Middle school and high school teachers have 120, 140 students. Yeah. That can get to be quite a bit. So I don't see a lot of secondary teachers doing that. However, if they do, something small is always appreciated, I'm sure.
Yeah, bookmark.
Mm-hmm. Or that picture you took of the class, a copy of the picture. Elementary teachers, again, you know, they don't have to spend a lot of money for this, although I've seen some have little notebooks they give the students, a special pencil.
Yeah.
You know, again, it doesn't have to be huge. Maybe a plant that they all grew together, little parts of little plants.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, a remembrance is nice and does not need to cost money at all.
Yeah. What else, Jackie? Anything else on this concept of closure? How long? I ask you a question, then I'm going to make a more specific question, but you can broaden it if you want. How long does it take for the teacher to sort of have, because your closure's not done, you're still at work when they leave. Now there's packing things up and there's grading.
Cleaning up your classroom and grading and all of that.
What is closure like for a classroom teacher?
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, as I always say to you, Lori, it depends but on the kind of teacher
that's
you
life.
Are and as is life, yes. But I, obviously not being a classroom teacher anymore, it's different for me now in a university setting. But when I was in the middle school and high school classroom, I appreciated those days after the students had left where just the teachers and the staff members were still in the building and everyone could kind of dressed more casually and the posters were coming down and the lockers had been cleaned out and you were grading and catching up with the teachers around the hall. I like that part of the year and it always helped me feel excited for the summertime too, which is a great part of being an educator.
Yeah.
How might some of this apply to people in other jobs? You're getting promoted, you're leaving one job for the other, you're getting divorced, your student is going off to college. What are some of the things that we need to pause and consider during times of transition that we can maybe learn from the classroom?
Transitions take time. I think that's one of the things that new teachers learn right away is or at least I do in working with students who are pre-service teachers and going into the field. You might think, oh, I'm going to have them stop doing this one activity and start doing this other activity, and that'll take a minute. It's going to take more than a minute. Transitions take time.
Yeah.
And so I think that applies to all of life's transitions, that it's not the same as just turning a page in a book. It takes time to go from one thing to the next. And so just honoring that you need that time and allowing for it and planning for it will make the transition much easier.
I always felt we needed 2 weeks to really figure out how to transition from school to summer.
Oh, yes. Oh.
And I would always try to short-circuit it. If I made a better plan, we would make the transition more quickly, and we would jump into summer right away, and we would be doing fun things. And no matter how much I planned, how great I thought it was like it's just going to be sort of emotionally unstable. not in an outlandish way, but just, you know, things you would notice for 2 weeks. And after 2 weeks, we all settled into the new routine.
Yeah, that's how I am. My sleeping, I have to get to a new sleep schedule.
Yeah.
I get to get to a new sleep schedule. Yeah. New routines, absolutely. Mm. I'm going to also say that with transitions, with closure, sometimes it's just you. The other person in the relationship isn't going to be a part of the closure, doesn't want to be a part of the closure.
Yeah.
And this can be in the classroom. It can be, like you said, in an office, in a personal relationship. And so sometimes the closure is just you. For me personally, a lot of writing helps me with that, or talking with friends, talking through the closure I want. And then, like Jackie said, just some time.
Give it time.
Give it time.
Mm-hmm. You can find this episode and more of SDPB's Teacher Talk. It's a podcast that celebrates teachers and education. Find SDPB's Teacher Talk on your favorite podcast platform. Find the companion blogs on our website, sdpb.org/teachertalk. And that is our show for today. We hope that it served you. In the Moment is produced by Ari Youngeman and Ellen Kester. I'm Lori Walsh. From all of us here at SDPB, thank you for listening.